In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The main reason for the obligation of Mass on this day is in order that we start the new year correctly. The day is liturgically only of second class, which means that it is not a solemn feast like the Immaculate Conception or All Saints' Day. But the Church would have us go to Mass on this day in order to start the new year correctly. The end of one year and the beginning of a new year is naturally a time of reckoning and correction. It is a time of self-examination and reorientation and the renewal of one's goals and an examination of one's means of attaining these goals. So the simple merchant at the end of the day will count up his take of the day. He will consider his profit and his loss and will make decisions about the next day based on what he has perceived this day. And the great corporations at the end of the year and at the end of the quarter put their accounting firms and their accounting departments on this great task of figuring out just what their status is, how much was made, how much was lost. And they waste no time and diligence in making this self-examination. But the most important goals of life are the spiritual goals. Unfortunately, most New Year's resolutions, that is, of the worldly, concern dieting and weight loss, or exercise, or the use of leisure time, or business resolutions. And these resolutions, while not bad in themselves, nevertheless reflect the attitude of the general population that the most important thing in life is the good life, is the enhancement of our natural life. A life in which we retain, first of all, a good appearance, and for this reason we should have dieting, good health, hence exercise, and a life of a lot of fun, and hence leisure time and the making of money, because you can't have much fun if you don't have money. This is life for most people. It is hedonism. It is as if God created us simply for these things, simply to lead the life of an animal. For an animal does exactly these things. He pursues his own good health. He pursues eating and drinking and so forth. He pursues the enhancement of his natural life until one day he simply drops dead. Now, Catholics know that the most important thing in life is a good death. Whereas the animal seeks a good life as the most important thing in life, the Catholic seeks a good death as the most important thing in life. A good death is one in which we go to God in the state of sanctifying grace and unburdened as much as possible of venial sin and the temporal punishment due to sin. That's a good death. Hence, New Year's Day for the fervent Catholic is something very different from what it is for the hedonist. The Catholic should be taking stock of his life in this way. First, am I in the state of sanctifying grace? The most fundamental question to put to yourself every single morning and every single night. Am I in the state of mortal sin, or am I in the state of sanctifying grace? Did I commit a mortal sin today? Second, on New Year's Day of 1997, am I more sanctified than I was a year ago? Am I closer to God or further away from Him? Have I progressed in the spiritual life or regressed? For you have done one or the other. You have not stayed the same. Have I progressed or regressed? Have I gained any ground against my faults? Or have they increased? Have they hardened like cement? Do I pray more fervently than before? Are my habits of piety more regular? Are they deeper? Or have I lost some habits of piety that I had previously? Do I do the proper amount of mortification, or is my life simply the life of an animal, where I go from gratification to gratification, from pleasure to pleasure, without any thought of even the most minimal mortification of the senses? Do I have any habits of mortal sin, particularly those of impurity? Do I have any habits of willful, venial sin, where I am complacent with some habit of venial sin that I don't bother to root out, perhaps using improper language? These are the important things of life and of death. These are the areas in which the real reckoning must be made and the real progress observed. The state of one's soul is the only lasting state of the human being, and to become and to stay holy is the only effort that will not be blown away by the winds of time. For no matter how much you try to improve your appearance, you know that in your old age you will be unattractive, wrinkled, gray, dried up. And in any case, what old age will not do, the grave will. That's simply life and death. No matter how much you try to maintain your health, you have the certitude that one day a doctor is going to tell you that you have a terrible disease that will terminate your life. Or that you will die instantly in an accident while you're in perfect health. Or you will gradually deteriorate and die of old age. All of that is a certitude. As certain as Christmas came this year, so those realities are certain. As certain as New Year's Day arrived and the sun rose this morning, so are those realities certain. And no matter how much fun you acquire in your life or how much money, you have the certitude that all of the fun must come to an end. It always does. The party always is over at a certain point. And that the fun that we have had in our lives will be meaningless to us as we approach death. In which the one thought that will be on our minds is what sort of life we will have after death. The fun that we had during our lives in this life will not in any way help us at our moment of death. What will be on our minds is what is ahead of us. Our judgment. Our purgatory. God forbid, our hell. These will be real fears as we approach the moment of death. And if you don't think so, realize that the great saints, those who lived great lives, lives of perfect holiness as much as possible in this life, feared their judgment, were terrified of approaching the judgment of Christ. And no matter how much money you make, no matter whether you save it or spend it, you will all go penniless to your graves. As penniless as you were born. No one will put money in your casket. No one will put money in your pockets. As a matter of fact, if you have anything valuable on in the casket, they will carefully remove those things before they close it. Therefore, while there is a place for good appearance, for good health, for leisure and recreation, and money in human life, we must always understand that these goods are secondary and subservient to the great goals, which are the state of grace, the avoidance of sin, the practice of the faith, the fervent reception of the sacraments, a fervent prayer life, and the overcoming of our faults. And therefore, I give you these resolutions for New Year's Day. To the gluttonous, I suggest to you moderation and even fasting. To the angry, patience and forbearance of the faults of others, forgiveness of injuries. To the envious, to rejoice in the good of others, and to be thankful to God for the good that you have received. To the prideful, humility by way of increased prayer, increased spiritual reading, and the patient bearing of humiliations. To the lustful, continence, chastity, purity, avoidance of evil occasions, and a special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. To the avaricious, donation of money to noble causes, such as to the church and to the poor. Quit being cheap with your family and trust in God's goodness to provide. And to the lazy, stop moaning over your duties and just do them. And let your rejoicing over the new year be one of interior joy, that you are in the state of grace, the interior peace that Christ gives, and not the sinful revelry of a race in mortal sin trying to forget its appointment with a horrifying death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.